Now, from the Center for Common Sense Counseling, here's Roland Trujillo.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome. My name is Pastor Roland, and I'm also known as Mike. Many of my friends call me Mike, especially over at Starbucks. So, whether you call me Mike or whether you call me Roland, either way is just fine, because I'm the same person. One of the most important things, maybe I guess it's the most important thing in the whole world, ladies and gentlemen, is love. We all know that. And we all sense that somehow, had we been loved a bit more, had we been loved properly, especially those of us who are all messed up, which many of us are, we have baggage from the past, we've had traumas, we have post-traumatic stress disorder, we've been through times where we've been depressed and so on, and we all know that had we been loved properly, we would have been okay. And we feel good about that because many of us had decent parents. We had a mom who's decent, father decent. Other people that we've known have been decent, many of them. And they did the best that they could. We sensed that they were doing the best that they could. Of course, some of us had, you know, violent, abusive parents and so on. But I'm talking about the average person. The average person had parents who were decent and other people who were decent, teachers that were decent, ministers that were decent, so on. But something was missing. Something was missing. They did not have a mysterious quality of love that would have made us feel perfectly secure. And we also sense that we ourselves need that. We need to find that. We need to have something that will smooth the waters. We want something that's pure and innocent and something that is strong, not weak, to help us. We need something to control us. We get out of control sometimes. We get out of control, and we need a steady hand to bring us back to our senses and to calm us down. Some of us were lucky to have a good father who did a lot of that for us. We were very lucky. Some of us did not have a good father like that, or we didn't know who our father was, or he was gone, or he had passed away, or something. And the point that I'm getting at here is that without love, we become destabilized. We become anxious, or we become frantic, or we become very rebellious. Many of the people who you see who are criminals or who are gang members, for example, many ladies who are very naughty, they have not been loved properly, and so they resent other people. And in their naughtiness, see, a lot of kids, like sometimes, you know, have you ever seen a child that's a little bit spoiled or very spoiled, and they want their way, and they stamp their foot, and they want their way. And people often will just give in to the naughtiness. They'll give in to the fit or to the display. And then the child becomes even more angry because the child needs someone to stop him or stop her. But other times the child wants his or her way, and then people are mean or cruel or punitive, and then the child resents them because they're mean. The child needs to be stopped with love. Now, back years ago, they used to have something called tough love. And what tough love meant was being honest with people, being no nonsense. And that was somehow good for people. We've all had, for example, we've had teachers. Many of us had a teacher that was very stern, very demanding, wouldn't take any excuses, wouldn't put up with any excuses. And we liked that teacher. We liked that teacher because instead of being condescending and supportive and reassuring, why, she was tough. And so we performed, and we liked it because it freed us up to perform, to do well, to be ourselves. See? And when it was all done, she said, good job. And then we were free to go about our life and, you know, do well. So there are two extremes. There are, see, the false love. The false love of the world is of two varieties. One variety is too rigid, too harsh, too mean. And the other variety is too soft, too weak, too supportive. And so we have both of those extremes in the world. And right now, the tables are, or the balance of the scales is tipped toward the latter. We have the condescending phony smother love. The smother love, the reassuring love, the supportive love that somehow never frees us up, never helps us to really get well. And so what we all need, what the world needs, remember the song, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Well, that's what the world needs. That's what we all need. We need some kind of a wonderful, wonderful love that's just right. You remember the Goldilocks? Was it Goldilocks and the Three Bears? I can't remember. There were three bears and, you know, I forget how it was, but I think there were three porridges. One was too hot, one was too cold, but one was just right. Well, that's what we need. We need love that's just right. Now, where will this love come from? Well, fortunately, this love comes from God. Now, let's talk about that, shall we? All right. Now, God created this wonderful universe, and He also created love. And the way He created love was in a couple of ways. First of all, everything that He does has love in it. Everything that He does is out of, He creates because He loves, and then He created humans so that we could behold His wonderful creation. And so we could appreciate. See, of course, a doggy or a cat, they do appreciate when you pet them, and they appreciate their food and so on. They do. That's another variety of love that God created. Many kinds of love, many levels of love. But they cannot appreciate Him. They cannot appreciate God. But we can, because we are humans. In a sense, we're chips off the old block. We have a soul. We have a still center. A person is the, we have a hand within a hand, a leg within a leg, an eye within an eye. We have an inner person. And our inner person has a center of our being. And our soul is able to appreciate, appreciate the handiwork of the Creator, and appreciate love, and appreciate His genius and His providence, and so on. And so he gave us an awareness so that we can be aware, but we can also be aware of cruelty and aware of meanness and hatred and viciousness and deceit and lies. And of course that makes us appreciate love all the more. Now He also created opposite. He created light and dark and cold and heat. And you know, we appreciate the beautiful sunlight more after a cloudy day. And likewise, we can appreciate love, real love, more after we have experienced the false love or the phony love, or after we have experienced cruelty. Phony love is also cruelty. And He also has hid himself to a large extent, so that we have to search for him. When you were a little child, you remember hide and seek, how much fun it was, or an Easter egg hunt, for example, looking for something, or a parent's, hiding something, a gift, and then you had to find it. Well, it was great fun. And he knows that he knows that we will appreciate something more if we yearn for it, if we sense a need for it and we yearn for it. See? And that is why many people have gotten messed up in their life, and they've messed themselves up, and they've done some very naughty things, and they've fallen very low. You know, they've gotten involved with awful people and drugs and all that kind of stuff. But deep down inside, they are yearning for the real thing. And they keep searching for it. And they search and they search and they search. And they look everywhere. Some people will go to religion. They'll study religion. They'll try different religions. They'll try Eastern religions. They'll try all kinds of things. They'll try anything and anything you can imagine. They go to the ends of the earth to look searching. And then they find, often when their search becomes pure, see, when they yearn with all their heart for truth and for innocence and for something beyond. And then when they see it, they really appreciate it. So it's a love story, really. But not everybody is searching. Not everybody loves truth. First of all, not everybody has a searching nature. Some do and some don't. And so who will be that type of person who will seek and find, and who won't, I cannot tell you. But all I know is that we're not all the same. We may look alike. See, you can't tell the good ones from the bad ones, but we're all different. And some of us love the truth, and some of us love it so much that we search for it. And some of us love truth so much that when we discover the truth, and the truth shows us to have made some mistakes, or shows us to be wrong, we love the truth so much that we're willing to admit that we were wrong. And we're willing to bear a little bit of pain for seeing that we're wrong. That's how much we love the truth. See? But not everybody is that way. Some people will harden their heart. See, and they would never admit they're wrong. Some people, do you know anybody who's kind of self-righteous and who would never admit they're wrong? Some parents are that way. They drive their children insane. They drive their children to drugs or to jail or to suicide. You know, a self-righteous parent who acts wonderful and perfect, makes the child think that child is bad. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've begun my discussion of this topic, and I'll be back after this important announcement. Would you like a really positive attitude? If so, you must learn how to be upset. If you are easily upset, it is because you are too reactive. In order to be calm, you must learn the secret of responding to inner principle instead of external tease. To learn the secret of not reacting with resentment and upset, go to commonsensecounseling.org, where you can download a free introductory copy of the meditation exercise. By relating humbly to inner principle, you can overlook others' cruelty and also overlook your own negative thoughts and emotions. By having remained unmoved, you are free to discern the meaning of the moment and respond with patience. The self-control you receive will restore confidence and a positive attitude based on a love of principle and having patience with others. Visit commonsensecounseling.org and start living instead of reacting. Welcome back. Welcome. My name is Roland Patrick Roland, and I'm also known as Mike. And so here I am, Pastor Roland, or Mike. And I have turned on the microphone, and I'm talking to you from the heart. I'm talking to you like if we were sitting at a nice table outside, and it's a beautiful day, and we're having a heart-to-heart talk. And that's how I'm talking to you now. And I tell you the truth, and I don't lie to you. And what I've done is I've turned the microphone on, and I'm just talking. I do not have notes in front of me. I don't have a script. I'm just talking from the heart. Now, what I want to talk to you about is about Jesus. Who is Jesus? I want to talk to you about that because it's very, very important. And I have not broached the subject very much over the years, even though I've been on the air for 22 years, written many books. And the reason is, quite simply, that I believe, in fact, I know, that who Jesus is very, very important. Because he's the point man. He's the leader. He's the new Adam. He's the second Adam, as it says in the Bible. He's the Messiah, the Redeemer. He's the Son of God. And he is sent by God to save us, rescue us. And it is apparent that belief into him is a very, very important thing. Not just knowing about him, not just reading about him or hearing about him, not just studying about him, but knowing him. And not just a fantasy thing. See, some people have a fantasy relationship with the movie stars, or people have all kinds of fantasy relationships, and they imagine things. But it must be a very real thing. So just who he is key. It's very important. If you were to know in your heart who he is, if you saw for yourself, if it were revealed to you who he is and you saw it, it would be the most wonderful thing, because you would simply see who he is. And when other people came and said, well, he's this and that, see, and if what they said didn't sit quite right with you, you wouldn't argue with them. You would just let it go in one ear and out the other, because in your heart, you know. See what I mean? Like, suppose you have a good father. You have a very good father. And your father loves you, and you love your father, and you're very close to your father. And then all of a sudden, here comes somebody, and they say something not true about your father. They make something up. You know how people are cruel and mean. And they say something, and it's not true. And you just know that it's not true. So you don't let it bother. You don't like it, but it doesn't bother you because you know differently. See, there was a cute story. It was a little boy was standing on the curb, and a businessman came up and he said, son, what are you doing here? And the little boy said, well, I'm waiting for the bus. And the businessman, well, I'm sorry, son, but the bus doesn't stop here. And the little boy says, yes, it does. And the businessman argued with him and said, well, this is not a bus stop. And so on. The little boy said, well, I have faith that the bus is going to stop here. So finally, the businessman just shook his head and gave up and started walking away. And as he was walking away, all of a sudden he heard the sound of a bus and bus brakes. And he turned around, and the bus was stopped, and the door was opening up, and the little boy was getting on the bus. And the little boy turned and said to him, you see, mister, the bus driver is my dad. So he had a relationship with a bus driver, so he had faith that the bus would stop there. Well, there's a very interesting passage in the Bible. It's in Matthew 16. Matthew 16, beginning with verse 13. He said, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." That's a very, very interesting passage. He said, "Blessed are you, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." Peter knew who he was because he knew it inside. Now, as I said, I have not broached the subject very much because it would be much better for a person to see for themselves, to see for yourself who Jesus is, rather than if I would tell you. See, if I told you who he is, see, and then you believed it because I said so, see, that wouldn't be good. However, if I say, you know, who he is, and then you see it, or it confirms what the inner testimony. See, it's the inner testimony that's the important thing, not what the other person says, not who says it or what they say, but whether you see it for yourself, whether inside you silently know that it's true. That's the important thing. So therefore, I've not gone around and I've never pushed anything on anybody. What I do is I seek to help people to wake up. I seek to help them wake up and come out of their imagination and out of their emotions in which they're lost. Lost in their emotions and lost in their daydreams and fantasies and pipe dreams and planning and scheming and reliving the past and rehearsing the future and all that. Up and out of that, back to reality, see? And I help them to find their inner ground of good. Help them to find their intuition again. You know where you kind of know something without knowing how you know, you just know? A wordless knowing, a silent knowing. I help them find their intuition again, from which they can flow. See? Look down through history, people, whether it's Einstein or Christopher Columbus or George Washington or Moses or Madame Curie, all the great inventors, all the great discoverers, they've all kind of followed what they knew in their heart. See? They were inspired. And although the world said no, no, and the world argued with them and the world tried to make them doubt themselves, they followed it anyway. Well, it's a very beautiful thing. That's what it's what is called faith. But it's not faith in words. It's not an emotional faith. It's not an external thing. It's just knowing. See, when you're a little child, if you see one person being mean to another person, you see that person is mean to the other person, and you just see it. That's all. Or if there is injustice, someone is being mean to, nice to one person, but being cruel to another. You see the injustice. You just see it. In this inner light. Now, the important thing about religion is to realize for yourself. And that's the way God likes it. See, God likes for us to see for ourselves what is true, not because somebody said so, but because we see that it's true. It's called the aha experience. It's called the eureka experience. You see and you say, "Oh, I see." So, for example, if somebody says to me, how do you know that 2 plus 2 equals 4? Some people say, "Well, it's because I memorized it or I learned it." And I say, "Well, yes, I did memorize it a long time ago, but now I know that 2 plus 2 equals 4 because I see for myself. I see it." So it's the same thing when I listen to the radio and hear some nice sermon on the radio, or someone's quoting scripture, for example. I listen to it lightly, and all of a sudden, some things I'll just see. I'll see that what they're saying is true. See, somehow a certain thing that they say is kind of highlighted, and I just see that it's true. I realize that it's true. It's the inner testimony. See, that's the important thing. It's the inner testimony. So now, the problem with people is that they come up with something and then they force it upon you. And if you accept what they say because they say so, then you are accepting it mindlessly without seeing whether it's true or not. And then you become guilty before this inner test. You become guilty before conscience. You become guilty before you know in your heart. Before what you know in your heart is right. See? By accepting something, see, not because you see that it's true, but because they said so. Or the other thing is, if somebody tries to force you something upon you, and then you become resentful and angry and you reject what they said, see, then you might then rebel against what does happen to be true out of a reaction to how they forced it upon you. See, that's why a lot of times you have kids that grew up in Christian families, they become rebels. They rebel against Christianity because it was forced upon them. See what I mean? So, therefore, what I would like to suggest is that since who Jesus is so important, that some people say this about him and some people say that about him, how about if you keep it as a question and wonder about it? Have it as a question and wonder. Okay? Until you see for yourself who he is.
You have been listening to Roland Trujillo from the Center for Common Sense Counseling. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.commonsensecounseling.org. You'll find lots of free helpful information, and you can also materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is commonsensecounseling.org. If you'd like to communicate by mail, address your correspondence to Roland Trujillo. That's ROLANDTRUJILLO. 1698 Market Street, Box 282, Redding, California, 96001. That's 1698 Market Street, Box 282, Redding, California, 96001. Please remember that Roland's program is listener-supported. Thank you.